Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Into the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Aki alongside Mike Gilligan. We're with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. Saying hello to everybody on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Also on YouTube, you can watch the show, youtube.com, search ESPN Chicago to watch the show live there. You can also always pause, rewind, fast forward, all that good stuff on youtube.com. Let's head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above, where we find Eric Ciotti on the site of the Big Ten Women's Championships out at Fox Chapel Golf Club in Pittsburgh. He joins us now on the Jersey Mike's hotline. Eric, good morning. How are you this morning?
Tyler, good morning to you. How are you guys doing?
We're fantastic today. Before we get into what's going on out in Pittsburgh right now, we've been talking a lot of Tiger Woods today. And Eric, you played collegially. You had a little cup of coffee on the tour as well. But what do you remember when you think of Tiger Woods? What is your iconic Tiger Woods moment?
Well, I mean, you obviously have to point to that chip that he had at Augusta. I mean, you know, those are just iconic moments that you might not ever see, and especially a player of Tiger's caliber and what he's done with his entire career. It's really incredible, and, you know, I consider myself very fortunate to have been able to play some tour events alongside Tiger, but I don't think people really understand the magnitude of what it's like to have thousands and thousands of eyeballs on you all the time, watching your every move. I can't even imagine. You know, he's lived his entire life under a microscope. But to do what he's done, you know, consistently over, you know, 20, 25 years is just, you know, we'll never see it again. And, you know, fortunate to have seen it myself and in person and up close at times.
So, Eric, do you think he's done?
I don't think he's done. I think he'll continue to play. I think, you know, honestly, you know, he's a physical specimen, and I think he's shown the ability to recover from some of probably the worst injuries you could possibly have. So I do think he will continue to play. I think he'll eventually get a little stronger. I don't know that he'll be able to play, you know, nearly at the level that he would, but I think, you know, golf is a game that you can play for a lifetime. We talked about that, you know, in many occasions, and I think that's going to hold true. So I expect Tiger to continue to play. I don't know that he'll, you know, he obviously won't play the same, you know, competitive schedule, but I expect him to play, you know, some tournaments every year and continue to get stronger. And I think he wants to do that not only for himself, but also to show his family, you know, and his son and his daughter, you know, and the rest of his family that he can, you know, endure and overcome some of these challenges and continue to play.
Great stuff. And now we find you out in the Berg, Pittsburgh, Fox Chapel Golf Club, covering the 2023 Big Ten Women's Golf Championship. And it sounds like you might be experiencing the tale of 2 days weather-wise. It was, what, I think in the low 80s yesterday. And what's happening today?
We are taking the term April showers a little too literally today. I think that's the case both in Pittsburgh here and also in Chicago, it might appear. So you're right. Yesterday was really nice. It was in the high 70s, low 80s. Really windy at times. You know, gusts kicked up. I think a lot of the players and the coaches maybe expected the scoring to be a little bit better than it was, given the conditions. But the golf course, you know, it's tricky, especially when the winds are gusting. And you can hit the ball well, but you can three-putt a lot out here because of the size of the greens. So I think, you know, it is a little bit less windy today, but obviously there was a fair amount of rain that we just had here over the last couple hours. So the course is going to play a little bit longer. But I do think it might help mitigate some of the challenges around the greens, getting some moisture on the greens.
So after yesterday's first round, Eric, Illinois out in front of Ohio State, Maryland, Northwestern, Wisconsin, Indiana, Purdue, all in a cluster as well. But the defending champion is Michigan. Where are the Wolverines right now, Eric?
They struggled a little bit yesterday. Actually, I just talked to Jan Dowling here a couple minutes ago before they teed off, and I think it caught her a little off guard. I think they felt like they had some momentum based on last year's performance. Their number one player, Monet Chun, the defending champion, didn't have her best stuff yesterday, so we'll have to look to see if she can turn that around and maybe get some momentum on the side of the Wolverines. But Crystal Wong is somebody that that everyone should definitely be looking out for. She played in the Augusta Women's National Amateur, made the cut. She's done extremely well, had a very decorated career at Illinois, so I would expect her to be a factor. And I do think that you'll see some of the better teams, the Ohio States, the Northwesterns, Michigan, they'll move back up into the mix today. I think it'll be a very competitive last 36 holes here.
And to your point, Crystal had one heck of a nice event down at Augusta. She tied for 14th, so that experience must be, treating her well as she's navigating Fox Chapel out that way. But with the weather coming in, a team like Illinois and somebody like Crystal, who's leading the charge for Illinois, how are they going to do given, is Illinois a mutter of a team of sort, or is this where Northwestern can easily gain some ground?
Yeah, I think if you're looking at a team to watch, I think Ohio State is probably the team that might be best suited to handle these conditions. Now, tomorrow it's going to be quite a bit colder than it is today. It's going to be down into the low 50s and potentially the high 40s. So we'll have to see how that plays out. It doesn't look like we'll have any rain to speak of tomorrow, which would be nice. But I think Illinois will do well. They've got some depth that I think, and some players that have played in this in multiple seasons. But if you're looking for a team or two, outside of the top there, I would look at Ohio State and Northwestern to make a charge here to last 36 holes.
Eric Ciotti, Big Ten Network, and from the CDGA, joins us here on the Jersey Mike's Hotline on the CDGA Golf Show. So you brought up Monet Chun's name. Who are some other names to look out for playing in the Big Ten Championships that we may see on the LPGA Tour one day?
Yeah, I think you look at Kaylee McGinty from Ohio State. Kaylee's somebody that played in the Augusta Women's National Amateur as well. She's definitely going to be somebody to watch for here in the next couple years. Crystal Wong, as we already discussed, Kelly Sim from Northwestern has had a really strong season. Northwestern came into this event ranked 15th in the country in golf stat, and probably is one of the deeper teams that we've seen. So I think any of those players, and I do think Monet Chun is somebody that could definitely play well at the professional level. I watched her play a lot last year, and short game wise, she's just so much better than a lot of the other players out here. So if you're looking at somebody that can, handle some challenging conditions and get up and down when they need to and make sure to two putt greens and make pars and just kind of plod along, she definitely fits the mold on that.
Somebody like Kaylee McGinty really intrigues me, although right now tied for 33rd, but she's number 25 in the world. And when I look at her career collegiately, she spent 2 years at Kent State, 1 year at Oklahoma State, which I think is a golf factory, but then probably went to maybe the biggest of them all, Ohio State. What's been her story, and what separates her from somebody like Rose Zhang, who's number one in the world and won at Augusta?
Yeah, I think it's just exposure. I just don't think she's been able to play in some of these higher level events. And you look at the Big Ten teams, they have the ability to set their own schedule. So it doesn't appear to me like a lot of the Big Ten teams, travel out west and compete with some of the Pac-12 teams and some of the teams on the West Coast. So I think look at somebody like Rose Zhang. I mean, a lot of their tournaments are televised on the Golf Channel. She's playing in all these high-level women's amateur events. She's had a couple of pro starts. So I think it's just more from an exposure standpoint. So I think once they get a chance to play a little bit more, get in the mix, get some sponsor exemptions on the LPGA Tour, I think you'll start to see her name pop up more frequently.
Eric Ciotti with us for a few more minutes here on the CDGA Golf Show. So, Eric, you're a Northwestern alum. Northwestern currently tied for fourth right now with Wisconsin. But they are the highest-ranked team in the Big Ten, according to Golf Stat. What have you seen from your Wildcats so far through just a round and change?
Well, I have so much respect for the job that these coaches do in the conference. I just want to kind of get that out there. Based on what I've seen, they just take so much pride in, teaching these young women and you know, being mentors and also kind of coaching them, you know, swing and swing techniques and short game. So it's really nice to see some of these teams and some of these individual players have success. As far as the Wildcats are concerned, I mean, like I said, I think they're just their depth is probably better than any team out here. So I think I was a little disappointed in, you know, some of the short game. I felt like, you know, watching them play a little bit yesterday, you know, had some opportunities to really get some momentum and get up and down a few times and couldn't take advantage of that. So we'll have to see if they can make some birdies and get off to a good start. The back nine is shown to be quite a bit more challenging than the front nine. So if you look at some of the results from yesterday's round, you had a lot of players that, you know, played well, made a few birdies on some scoreable holes on the front nine, but then didn't take advantage of that on the back nine. So, you know, something to watch for as you're, you know, watching the last nine holes when we do the television coverage. You know, making pars and getting up and down and staying consistent is probably what's going to win this golf tournament.
Eric, lastly, before we let you go here, how do we watch what's taking place right now out in Pittsburgh?
Yep, so this is a great question, Tyler. So next Saturday, the 29th, we'll be airing the show at 10 o'clock Eastern, 11 a.m. on Big Ten Network. So I would highly advise everybody out there, if you're not playing golf on Saturday, listen to the CDGA Golf Show from 8 to 10, and then flip on your TV and watch the Women's Golf Championship from 10 to 11.
Love it. Can't wait. Thank you so much, Eric. Appreciate you joining us here, and look forward to catching some of your coverage.
All right, enjoy the weekend, guys. Thanks.
Thanks. All right, Eric Ciotti, Big Ten Network, and part of the CDGA as well, does some fantastic work there. 312-332-3776. If you want to jump in on the conversation, we've been talking a lot of Tiger today. I do want to get into what's going on in the professional ranks right now. Team elements. Team golf has been sort of the theme of the week, whether it's college golf, whether it's professional golf, what's going on the LIV Tour as well. We'll dive into all that when we come back. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment was sponsored by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
A segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. Been talking a lot of Tiger Woods today. Also got a nice little glimpse from the Big Ten Championships from Eric Ciotti just now. If you missed anything, check out the Golf Show podcast, the CDGA Golf Show, wherever you get your podcasts, including on the ESPN Chicago app. You want to jump on in, 312-332-3776. But, Mike, this has been the weekend of team golf, whether you want to talk college like we just did with Eric Ciotti, or you want to go professional to the PGAs with the Zurich Classic taking place down in New Orleans right now, or we've also got, this is one of those dueling weekends with the PGA taking place and also LIV Golf taking place down under in Australia right now. Let's start on the PGA Tour front. This is a little unorthodox from what they do, but you get the best ball format also intertwined with the alternating shot as well. Right now, Bo Hostler, Wyndham Clark, your leaders at 16 under. Keith Mitchell and Sung J.M. also at 15 under there, tied for second. Ryder and Redmond at 15th. Neesmith and Moore. And local guy Nick Hardy also tied for fourth right now. He's with Davis Riley in this format. Trainer Ramey, O'Hare, Matthews, Patrick Cantlay, and Xander Schauffele go out and fire a 63 in the alternating shot, clearing the field by at least three strokes yesterday. They are set to tee off here about 2 hours from now. But a lot of interesting and a little bit of a different outlook on golf this weekend.
Yeah, a little bit. And, you know, as we often call it in America, best ball, but it's truly called four ball because there are actually four balls in play. And so, yes, but they will take the best score on Thursday and again today. But Friday and Sunday is the most difficult format. It's what we call alternate shot. So I think what happens on the first tee, everybody makes an agreement. We're not going to use the word sorry, because if I hit a tee shot to the right and it's in the woods, I can't tell you I'm sorry. I just put you there. You got to figure this out and get us back into play, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why if you notice the scores, other than that twosome, everyone else gets worse. But they shot a record 63 yesterday, which was phenomenal. And Captain Zach Johnson has to be elated with those two guys, because those guys are shoo-ins to be on the Ryder Cup team that goes to Rome. Now, however, Zach is probably not real pleased with the performance that Max Homa and Colin Morikawa put up, because they didn't even make the cut. And if the United States are going to, you know, do what we do best over in Rome, they're going to need Colin Morikawa and Max Homa to be a big part of, you know, bringing that cup back to America.
Yeah, most of the groups in the 60s, but Morikawa and Homa yesterday, they fire a 70, and like you mentioned there, missed the cut. I mean, hey, if they go sub 70 at any, like if they went 3-4 under, they're probably still hanging around in this competition, but ultimately not the case here. You have been really intrigued by the LIV event that is taking place right now down in Australia, where Taylor Gooch has gone 10 under to have a 10-stroke lead after two rounds. And again, these are just 3-round events, so he would have to have a colossal collapse if he were to punt this thing away. But after Taylor Gooch, I mean, it's a pretty stacked leaderboard when you looked at down at some of the other guys that are not playing for first but playing for second in this. And of course there's always the team aspect of LIV Golf as well, but you've got Louis Oosthuizen, Cameron Tringali, Brooks Koepka picking up kind of where he left off at the Masters, Abraham Ancer, Pat Perez, Charles Schwartzel all at 10 under, then at 9 under and tied for 8th. How about Phil? Phil coming back and putting together a nice round in round two to get himself in a tie for 8th. He's alongside Harold Varner, Cam Smith, some of the other notables that are tied for 8th right now. Sergio Garcia, Graham McDowell, Henrik Stenson, Dustin Johnson, Patrick Reed, all tied for 13th right now at 8 under. But pretty good leaderboard for LIV, because we've seen in some of these events, not just this year but last year, you see some of these big names, and they're all the way down in 30th, 40th place because it seems like they don't really care. But I feel like out of the Masters, bottling up a little bit of momentum and coming out here, and they're in the thick of things for not first place, but for second.
Exactly. And, you know, you mentioned it last week. You said, let's keep an eye on these guys. How will they play when they leave Augusta? Well, you're right. They're all playing well right now. Down under, they're having a party like there is no other. And that's what kind of caught my attention early in the week when they announced they had to put more tickets on sale. They have sold this thing out in a big, big way. They've had over 25,000 people on the grounds there for the last 2 days. The second round is already in the books because they've already played. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think they're sleeping right now.
Yeah.
but they, it's really looked like a real tour event, almost borderlining on a Masters or a hybrid version of what happens out at Phoenix.
Right.
They have their own watering hole on the 12th hole, where I guess there's this new thing called a shoey, where you guzzle beer out of somebody's shoe. And so some of the players are doing it. The fans are doing it. It's such a celebration going on down there. It makes me now realize why they're going back there for two times in 2024 and potentially more in the future. So Australia is embracing this. You know, they have been golf starved as a country. This is the real first professional event that has more of an international flair versus just playing at what they call the Australian PGA. So I think Australia is showcasing themselves in a way between the Olympics of not too long ago. This, they're a country that should host more sporting events.
Yeah, I will say this. Australia has always been one of those bucket list travel destinations for me. My dad's been there a couple times and he's spoken very highly of it. But like, if you look at it, it kind of makes sense why this thing is what it is down there. Look at the face of LIV Golf, right? Greg Norman, Australian.
Right.
You look at some of the guys competing in this. Cam Smith, one of the hottest names in all of golf. And like you think about this, this is like for in Australia, this is like if Yao Ming were to go put on a basketball tournament out in China.
Exactly.
Like it is, you've got a cultural hero coming home and putting on a big time event for you here. And that's exactly what this is for Australians right now.
No doubt. And then you even get a guy like Mark Leishman, who to us is just, you know, another name out on the tour.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark Leishman over there is a big name. And in fact, such a big name, they have Leishman Lager being sold all over the golf course. And it's selling at a rate that is unbelievable. So, like I said, they're having a great time down there. It's going to be interesting to see when they start going to some of these other countries to see if they're going to be embraced just as well. And they very may well be. But I will tell you, things couldn't be going any better for the LIV Tour since Augusta started till now.
And again, we talked about it ad nauseum last week, but Jon Rahm may have won the Masters and wore the green jacket, but it really felt like Greg Norman was the true winner of what took place at Augusta. Like, there was a world where we could have seen three guys in a playoff, maybe even four guys in a playoff, and three of them would have been LIV.
Oh, yeah.
When you look at Patrick Reed, Brooks Koepka, and Phil. And they're continuing to play at that level now down in Australia.
They are. I mean, and it's getting the opportunity to showcase their talents in front of their own home crowd. And Cam even mentioned after the first round how he's never been so nervous. Now, this is a guy who won the Players' Championship mm-hmm. last year, wins the British Open, and tells us that playing in LIV in his home country, he found himself under more nerves than anywhere before. Because I think he really felt the desire to really want to perform for his home country and to continue all the enthusiasm that was going on. Their weather is absolutely perfect. To your point about it being a bucket list, it certainly is on my wife and my own bucket list to travel there. I made a point to say, look, if we're going to go there, we're going to go see an event. Now, whether it's mm-hmm. LIV, you know, rugby, Australian Olympics, rules, football, something, Olympics, yeah. something. Mm-hmm. But the weather there is so good. As they said, it's 19 degrees Celsius, mm-hmm. which comes out to, I think it's 68 degrees.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, everybody was just having a great time. So, yeah, LIV golf, team golf, that's what we're going to watch. Because unless our leader, Taylor Gooch, decides, I'm going to play lefty, guys, come and get me, this thing is basically over with 54
right.
holes.
Mm-hmm. And I do like these pop-up sort of team events. And that's more so talking about Zurich. But, like, it kind of gets these guys back to their roots. Like, the roots of these guys golfing, you think about high school teams that they're on and college teams that some of them may have played for as well. Like, those are some of their roots of playing the sport and just having that team element sort of back in their lives a couple times a year, or in the case of LIV, whenever they do go out and compete, it is a team event. But having like the team element back in, I think, is a cool thing a couple times a year.
I agree. And to that point of, yeah, this is how they grew up playing in a four-ball or a best ball team format. But what is also really neat about this event is the players can pick their own partners.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's friends or even relatives, in the case of Matthew yes. Fitzpatrick, who yep. brought his brother on, I think this is his second tour start.
Mm-hmm.
They went out in the first round and just shocked the world with an amazing, great score. Now, kind of came back to life a little bit with a 71 yesterday in the alternate shot, didn't quite have it. But it's really cool how they can pick, you know, friends, people to get yeah. along with. You get to preview potentially some pairings that you might see in the Ryder Cup. But the unfortunate thing is there's no Masters invitation tied to this, and there are no world ranking points to this. And what I find really interesting is down under, they're playing in front of 75,000 plus people over the last couple days here, and there's going to be no world ranking points right. awarded either.
Yeah.
But they do get FedEx points with this team stuff, but no world ranking points and no invitation to Augusta. But it's going to be fun to watch nonetheless.
All right, when we come back, we will talk to Jim Nugent from the Global Golf Post. We were supposed to have a chat with him last week, but we pushed it back to this week. We'll get all of his thoughts on what's taking place, PGA, LIV, all that good stuff, and including a potential women's live league that could be coming to a television screen near you as well. We'll talk to Jim when we come back. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
This segment is sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan with you on the CDGA Golf Show. We're with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. Let's head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's, a sub above, where we find Jim Nugent, the founder and publisher of Global Golf Post. He joins us now on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on this Saturday.
Jim, it's great to have you on. Our apologies for the technical difficulty we had with you last week. But last week, we were celebrating CDGA Week with Global Golf Post Women. And we wanted to have you on and tell us a little bit more about Global Golf Post Women and why you launched it.
Well, thank you. Global Golf Post Women is a new subscription service that we launched just about 2 months ago. There's been a void in the journalism dedicated to the women's game ever since Golf for Women magazine disappeared about a dozen years ago. And we saw that void and we prepared to fill it. And the notion is that stories about women's golf are rarely told, and we're going to tell them. We're going to write about women that are interesting for any variety of reasons. It might be someone that plays on the LPGA Tour that you've never heard of. Might be someone that competes at a very high level of amateur golf. Might be someone who works in the golf industry. Might just be a woman who is passionate about the game and gives considerably of her time, her talent, and her treasure to support the game. And last week, we featured three really interesting women from the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, and one of them being Catherine Jemsek and Marla Jemsek over at Cog Hill. To your point about interesting people, now they may not play the game, but they operate some first-class facilities here in our area and outside our area.
Well, the Jemsek family has been a part of the Chicago golf landscape for as long as I've been alive, and an important part of that. They're best known, obviously, for operating the Cog Hill facility. But Catherine has emerged as the next generation leader of the operation. She's very, very dedicated to her craft. She's very visible on the Cog Hill campus. She's one of the leading golf operators in the United States. And our Tim Cronin told a wonderful story about Catherine that I think most of your listeners would enjoy reading.
Jim Nugent, our guest here on the CDGA Golf Show, founder and publisher of Global Golf Post. So, Jim, the sport as a whole has grown so much since the start of COVID, but as we sit now, how much of that has been on the women's side?
A very, very significant part of the growth that we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years came from women. If you think about it, women, all of a sudden, mothers were responsible for children who lost their athletic activities, and we're looking for something to do to get some exercise and be together. And so mothers across the country, women across the country came to the game and with them brought their children. And so the women that came were a real catalyst for the growth. And all data that I've seen suggests that the industry is doing a very, very good job of retaining those women and retaining the children that came with them.
And with the women telling the stories, you or being the subject of the stories, you have some amazing new writers that have joined in the form of journalists that are also female. Can you tell us about some of those people?
Yeah, we really were aggressive about trying to. We didn't want our team to tell these stories. We wanted women to tell these stories, so we recruited some interesting women. One is a woman named Lisa Mickey, who's been around the game, both professional and amateur, for a very, very long time. She was with Golf for Women at one period. We recruited a woman named Amelia Migliaccio, who's, I think, ranked number 20 in the world as an amateur. She's finishing up her career at Wake Forest. Everything she did from age 10 on was to prepare her to become an LPGA player. And during COVID, she decided that that wasn't her road. She wanted to become a golf journalist, and so she's getting her first break with us, and she's doing wonderful work. And then a third woman is a young lady by the name of Bryn Walker, had an outstanding career at University of North Carolina, is now on the Epson Tour, and she's doing a serial piece for us once a month talking about life in the minor leagues for women's golf, what it takes, what it's like to try and go from the Epson Tour to the LPGA. She's a wonderful writer, and her stories really resonate.
Jim Nugent, Global Golf Post, our guest here on the CDGA Golf Show. So some big news in the world of professional women's golf. Greg Norman came out this week and said that talks are still ongoing on a regular basis to add a women's tour at some point to the LIV branch. Would that be a good thing for women's golf? There was a lot of pushback when it came about on the men's side, but would adding a women's tour to LIV Golf be a good thing for the sport?
Well, it's hard to answer that question because we don't know what it's going to look like. Are they going to fund it? Are they going to do the LIV route and own and operate it? There's so many imponderables right now. But the real challenge here is the optics of operating or investing in women's sport when women in Saudi Arabia are treated so poorly and have so few rights. There's a real juxtaposition there between the role of women in the Saudi society and the role of women from the West who are free to go about living their life as they see fit. So I think it's going to be a challenge for Liv and for Norman. But right now, the bigger issue is that the Saudis are being abused, to lack of a better word, in the court system in San Francisco. They keep losing and losing and losing. And I don't think anything's going to happen on the women's side until the court situation is resolved out in Northern California.
Jim, you mentioned Bryn Walker Collins, and since you've released this publication, that series of articles has caught my interest in a big way. You just came out with the second article last week, and it really is great reading. The young lady has earned over $18,000, I think, in her 2 years out on the tour, and was Rookie of the Year in 2021. But she's now married, has her husband on the bag, and is struggling a little bit because she's had to deal with injury at such a young age. And being just very open, transparent, and vulnerable, I find her writing to be a joy to read.
I agree with you. You know, she lost last year due to injury. She did all her proper rehab. She began this year working very hard. They moved to South Florida to get in shape, to play. But it is a struggle. And it's a struggle for all the women out there on the Epson Tour. It's not very glamorous. There's not a lot of money out there. It takes a real desire and dedication to want to endure that and a real strength of conviction that you can get to the LPGA from there. So I'm pulling for Bryn, but along the way, she's telling some wonderful stories.
Yeah, I'm a big Bryn Walker Collins fan now, and it's funny. She said she got married to golf first before she actually got married,
right.
So we wish her nothing but the best. But what other features or players or stories can we expect to see in 2023?
You know, when we sat down, and we had this notion that women's stories just don't get told very often, our team sat down and started penciling stories in back in very early January. And it only took about 3 hours to fill the entire year. There's so many interesting people out there for us to write about who aren't known. You know, you think about some of the women that are doing broadcast television, Paige McKenzie, for example. Cara Banks is another one. You think about a woman by the name of Molly Solomon, arguably one of the most influential women in the game. She oversees NBC Golf and Golf Channel. And believe it or not, the CEO of Dick's Sporting Goods, one of your sponsors, is a woman, and we're going to profile her in the weeks to come. So there's just no end of stories for us to tell about women who care about this game and many of them can play at a very high level.
Jim Nugent, before we let you go here, how do people subscribe to get all the latest from the Global Golf Post?
You can go to globalgolfpost.com and subscribe to all of our services, our digital magazine, as well as our subscription services. But you can go directly to ggpwoman.com to sign up for that publication. You get a free 2-week trial subscription. And if you like it, it'll cost less than a dozen golf balls to subscribe for the rest of the year.
Great. Thanks so much for your time, Jim. Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon.
Guys, thanks for having me on today.
Thanks, Jim.
Jim Nugent, Global Golf Post, with the latest of what's taking place on the women's side of things. When we come back, we will go around the CDGA. This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our 3 Chicagoland locations today.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Thank you to Charlie Bevins for producing the show this morning. This is the CDGA Golf Show, and this segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. If you missed anything, check it out on the podcast, the CDGA Golf Show, wherever you get your podcasts, including on the ESPN Chicago app. Mike, what do we have going on around the CDGA this week and beyond?
Well, Monday, believe it or not, the tournament season gets underway. April 24th, we will start with our Mid-Am qualifier up at Sunset Valley, but the U.S. Open local qualifier will be taking place out at Cantini, and the USGA closed registration for the U.S. Open that will be played at Los Angeles Country Club in June, and over 10,000 people have entered to try to host the U.S. Mm-hmm. Open trophy in June. All 50 states are represented by entries, believe it or not, including Alaska. But they broke the old record of 2014 when the U.S. Open was played at Pinehurst. So they have gone over the 10,000 number mark, and that is another sign that golf mm-hmm. is alive and well. So if you can't play in the U.S. Open, mm-hmm. you can certainly join Tyler and myself on July 28th at the Glenview Park Golf Club. It's a Friday. It's going to be one heck of a CDGA Golf Show listener appreciating outing. We had 6 foursomes already sign up last week. So if you go to cdga.org, click on social events, you'll get all the information. But it's a noon shotgun start. You'll join Tyler, myself, some other ESPN and CDGA people playing in the outing as well. Lots of great giveaways, believe me. So it's well worth the money. And we have a band, Ron Cassidy throws an amazing party up there. So July 28th, get some friends, come out and join us for all the fun. As we approach May, it becomes a big month for our CDGA Foundation. We are going to try to hit a goal of $90,000 with a variety of CDGA blue coats and members playing 100 holes. We still have an opening for a fundraiser, and all fundraisers that help us get to that goal will get one shot at making a hole-in-one from 150 yards out on hole number 3 and win $1 million that they would split the pot with, half of the money going to the foundation and the other half going to them, that they would share with anyone that
they would like.
that they would like, or
do
that, that help them get to their personal mm-hmm. goal. Member perk of the week, as far as golf is concerned, if you go on out and see Lou out at Fox Bend Golf Course out in Oswego, Monday to Friday, he has an $80 twosome, including cart, anytime during the day. And up at our Palatine Hills with Dan Hotchkin and company on Mondays and Tuesdays, they have a $90 twosome special with cart. And you can book both of these on our booking engine at cdga.org. And just remember, Mother's Day is not too far around the corner. So you could do one of two things. You could get mom a CDGA membership for mom. That'll cost you $40, but if that's not in your budget, how about a dozen Srixons for $29.99 delivered to your door plus tax? You can't beat that.
No.
Come on. 12 balls. I mean, these are the tour type balls. Aside from that, we got news that the average the active handicap population of people who actually have an index grew 17%. So from 2020, there was 2.6 million people that had an index. Now we're well over 3 million.
Wow.
Again, another sign that golf is big and golf is growing. But it also shows you not to be that guy that shows up without an index.
Right. And I think as I always say about the CDGA membership, it pays for itself.
It does.
I mean, just perfect example. I went to X Golf last week. You get a CDGA member discount when you go there. So
yeah.
it pays for itself time over time. Whether you want to go get some Jersey Mike's subs, whether you want to go play any of these great courses, it pays for itself for just $40 a year.
It does. And today, looking at the weather, as much as I'd love for everyone to head out to these golf courses, you bring up a great point. X Golf, you get 10% off
right.
if you're a CDGA member, and that's any X Golf location in Chicago.
And the other part too is why today is a great X Golf day as well. You and I were looking outside during the break. I think we saw a little bit of snow out there.
There was actually a little bit of snow falling down here on State Street. Crazy.
So yep, it is that time of the year. It is not always easy to get out there, but you can always find out some alternative ways as well to make sure that your golf game still stays in shape. That way, when it is nice, once we get to May and June and July, that way you're good to go and you're coming off the runway then and you're ready to go.
That's right. And, that's why I think our golf marathon is so cool, because you're only going to be playing par threes. You're going to play a lot of wedges, short irons. And I think that's a great way to get your tempo going early, solid ball contact, and just kind of master a bit of that touch and feel part of the game early in the season. Most of the people that help us fundraise tell us that they didn't realize how much that prepared them for the rest of the season. Everybody thinks it's all about the driver, when in fact, it's all about around the green. So May 20th, come out and join us at Ziegfeld Troy.
Looking forward to all of that. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Up next Saturday morning, then at 11, it'll be Peggy and Dion with Shay Norling filling in for Peggy. White Sox Weekly at 12:30, and White Sox and Rays coming up at 2:30. That's your schedule the rest of the day here on ESPN 1000. We'll be back with you next week on Saturday, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with top tracer technology.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.